In fact, it might be more appropriate to ask, not what conclusions I have drawn on the basis of my study, but rather how the study has affected me personally. In response, I can only say, there is something very persuasive about seeing a person describe his experience which cannot easily be conveyed in writing. Their near-death experiences were very real events to these people, and through my association with them the experiences have become real events to me. I realize, however, that this is a psychological consideration and not a logical one. Logic is a public matter, and psychological considerations are not public in the same way. One person may be affected or changed in one way and another person in a different way by the same set of circumstances. It is a matter of disposition and temperament, and I do not wish to imply that my own reaction to this study should be a law for the thinking of everyone else. In view of this, some might ask, if the interpretation of these experiences is ultimately such a subjective matter, why study them? I can think of no other way to answer this than to point again to the universal human concern with the nature of death. I believe that any light whatever which can be shed on the nature of death is to the good. Enlightenment on this subject is needed by members of many professions and academic fields. It is needed by the physician who has to deal with the fears and hopes of the dying patient and by the minister helping others to face death. It is needed also by psychologists and psychiatrists, because in order to devise a workable and reliable method for the therapy of emotional disturbances, they need to know what the mind is and whether it can exist apart from the body. If it cannot, then the emphasis of psychological therapy would shift ultimately toward physical methods, drugs, electric shock therapy, brain surgery, and the like. On the other hand, if there are indications that the mind can exist apart from the body and that it is something in its own right, then therapy for mental disorders must finally be something very different. However, more than academic and professional issues are involved. It involves deeply personal issues, for what we learn about death may make an important difference in the way we live our lives. If experiences of the type which I have discussed are real, they have very profound implications for what every one of us is doing with his life. For, then it would be true that we cannot fully understand this life until we catch a glimpse of what lies beyond it. Afterward, near-death experiences in the 21st century. What comes next in investigating the extraordinary phenomena of human consciousness that take place on the threshold of death? The republication of Life After Life seems a good occasion to report briefly on three further developments in my research. First, it is now clear that the familiar near-death experience is part of a much broader spectrum of alternate states of awareness related to death and dying. The spectrum includes, most interestingly, a startling phenomenon I dub the empathic death experience. It is very common for someone at the bedside of a person who is dying to participate empathetically in the dying experience of that other person. Hundreds of wonderful people from all walks of life have related to me that, as a loved one died, they themselves lifted out of their own bodies and accompanied their dying loved ones toward a beautiful and loving light. They also describe seeing deceased relatives coming to greet the one who was passing away. In fact, all of the elements commonly thought of as defining the near-death experience also are mentioned by those who report empathic death experiences. Interrelated demographic factors are bringing about a tidal wave of empathic death experiences. I first learned of the phenomenon in 1973 from one of my professors of medicine, who told me of her own experience that took place during an unsuccessful attempt to resuscitate a close relative who had suddenly collapsed and died. Since then, tens of millions of baby boomers have entered midlife, a stage of life during which it is very common to lose one's parents and other loved ones. At the same time, hospital practices regarding the terminally ill have changed significantly. When I was in medical school, doctors and nurses generally were the ones present when a patient died. Medical personnel intervened toward the last to escort family members out of the room on the theory that the actual death would be too overwhelming an event for them to bear. Nowadays, it is common practice for the doctors and nurses to encourage the patient's families to be there with them until the end. This, And the fact that such a large segment of the population is now faced with the issue of mortality, guarantees that empathic death experiences will be a major subject of research in the coming decades. Second, I have developed and tested a system that safely enables people to see firsthand what a major component of a near-death experience is like. Specifically, many who return from close brushes with death say that during the interlude they saw and conversed with the spirits of loved ones who had already passed away. Medical studies have also shown that a high percentage of psychologically normal individuals have visionary encounters with departed loved ones in the wake of a death. Whether these apparitions of the deceased occur within the context of a near-death experience or of bereavement, they help people move more successfully through the process of grieving. Therefore, it is of great interest to know that in the ancient world, procedures existed that permitted people who were in a waking state of awareness to see and talk with full-sized, moving, three-dimensional apparitions of those they had lost to death. By studying ancient writings as well as an archaeological site in Greece at which evocation of the deceased was once practiced, I was able to reproduce this method. I have guided several hundred people through this procedure, resulting in their having first-hand contact with lifelike apparitions of departed loved ones. To my great surprise, those who participate in this procedure take the experience to be one of actual contact with the deceased, and have no doubt of its reality. More important, perhaps, participants say these encounters bring about a healing of their unresolved grief. Since I first reported these findings in 1992, they have been confirmed independently by many other psychologists throughout the world. Most recently, my method of evoking the deceased has been reproduced by investigators at a major training institute for psychotherapists. Faculty members and students at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology in California replicated my initial research, with identical results. Space does not permit a thorough description of this method, but interested readers will find a full account of it in my book Reunions, Visionary Encounters with Departed Loved Ones. In sum, there is now a reliable method of enabling people to visualize and communicate with the spirits of loved ones who have crossed over. Throughout a career spent counseling people who are grieving, I have heard many of them say, almost as a mantra, "If I only had 5 more minutes to say the goodbyes and I love yous that were left unsaid." I can assert with full confidence that we now have a way of providing the bereaved with 5 more minutes. Third, the observations I report in Life After Life are just one small part of a much larger overall research project I have been conducting since 1963. This project has culminated in the production of a multimedia self-instructional program that will initially guide just a few participants safely over to the other side, and back. The program also prepares them to put what they experience over there into words. The outcome of this research is to create a coterie of individuals who will be in a uniquely privileged position to formulate a literal concept of the afterlife for purposes of rational investigation. I feel sure that the work I am announcing here for the first time will stir discussion among thoughtful enthusiasts of paranormal phenomena for years to come. It certainly seems incredible that there could be a procedure for walking over to the other side for a short visit and returning safely. Nonetheless, I have figured out how it can be done, and I am ready to defend my claim. Does this mean that at last there is scientific proof of an afterlife? No, but it does mean that a major step has been taken that puts the idea of the afterlife on more secure footing. And the novel approach to this work portends a significant advancement in the understanding of near-death experiences and many other unusual manifestations of human consciousness, including paranormal phenomena. I plan to publish this new work, The Wisdom of Nonsense: How to Prepare for Your Near-Death Experience, soon. I predict that the 21st century will bring the greatest advances in the rational understanding of life after death since Plato wrote about the subject 23 centuries ago. However, this prediction must be tempered with a word of warning. The inherent fascination that near-death experiences hold for almost everyone makes them an apartment topic for media sensationalism. Sadly, the avalanche of books on the subject includes many that, to my personal knowledge, have been fabricated by unscrupulous self-promoters cynically seeking notoriety or financial gain rather than true advancement in knowledge. For me, the ruthless commercialism that has exploited the public's interest in near-death experiences is a personal tragedy. In a typical week's work, I see a number of people who are going through agonies of grief over the loss of a loved one. I know that many such people desperately seek out books on the afterlife in the hopes of being consoled. It troubles me deeply to see people abused by those whose interest in this subject is not the truth but rather financial gain. In light of this concern, my current publisher asked me to prepare a list of publications on near-death experiences that I personally believe are reliable and sound. An important book on the subject is Ordered to Return, My Life After Dying by George Ritchie, MD Hampton Roads Publishers. This account is just as I heard it from Dr. Ritchie himself in 1965, and it inspired me to do the research reported in Life After Life. Dr. Ritchie happens to be the finest man I have ever known. In the 1950s he opened up publicly about his own near-death experience. It took a lot of courage back then to talk about this subject. When he did, he exposed himself to ridicule and rejection. In the process he inspired me and the thousands of other people whom he has helped throughout his long career in medicine. Another good source is the work of Dr. Kenneth Ring, Professor Emeritus of Psychology at the University of Connecticut at Storrs. His Life at Death, published in 1980, was the first systematic, statistical study of near-death experiences. More recently, his book Mindsight, Near Death and Out-of-Body Experiences in the Blind, written with Sharon Cooper, recounts astonishing cases of persons who, although blind, had apparent visual perceptions of their surroundings while out of their bodies during close calls with death. Bruce Grayson, MD, of the University of Virginia Medical Center, has probably contributed more to the study of this phenomenon than any other single individual. For 15 years, Dr. Grayson has edited the influential publication Journal of Near-Death Studies, New York, Human Sciences Press. The journal is the motherlode of rational studies on this subject, written by professionals from every relevant clinical or academic field. Melvin Morse, MD, a pediatrician in private practice in Seattle, Washington, has contributed a number of excellent books and medical journal articles about the near-death experiences of children. His Transformed by the Light, The Powerful Effect of Near-Death Experiences on People's Lives and Closer to the Light, Learning from the Near-Death Experiences of Children, both with Paul Perry, are highly recommended. For those who are seriously concerned with the issues of the paranormal and the afterlife, I also want to recommend my own recent book, The Last Laugh, A New Philosophy of Near-Death Experiences, Apparitions, and the Paranormal, Hampton Roads Publishers. It presents an entirely fresh approach to the investigation of these extraordinary phenomena and has received quite a bit of support and encouragement from many of my colleagues in the field. Finally, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to the multitudes of readers of Life After Life all over the world who have written to describe their own life-changing visions that took place on the verge of death. And thanks also to the thousands of people who have written to say that the book inspired and comforted them at times of loss. I am happy to be able to say that the research I originally reported in this work hardly scratched the surface. The near future will bring developments in the rational study of life after death that are even more astonishing than those that have been presented up to now. Raymond A. Moody, September 2000. End.